Praise God. Just want to, at the end of the service this morning, what I'm going to do is invite the oversight to stand at the front here, and I'm going to invite people to come and have an opportunity for every one of us to be prayed of this morning. I believe God wants to pour His Spirit out on us today in a wonderful way, and that's obviously not compulsory, never is, but if you're really hungry today, you really want God to touch something in your spirit, I pray that know that God is really going to touch you today as you make your way forward this morning. I want to talk this morning. We've got a theme this year. Our theme is the invitation. And I want to continue along those lines this morning. And we're looking in that different aspects about the invitation that the Lord has for us to come into relationship, to fellowship with Him, and how the invitation to come into the inheritance, everything that God has for us. And also we're looking at that aspect of us inviting other people along. And we've been mixing these around and looking at these different aspects over this year. I want to look at a particular invitation that the Lord is giving to each and every one of us. And I believe the Lord's giving an invitation to you this day. That is, you've come here today. The Lord's actually invited you. You might not have realized that, but God actually has prompted you, drawn you to be here this morning. There's a passage in John 10:10, and many of us would know this scripture in John 10:10, and it says this. It says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I've come that they may have life and have it to the full." To have life and to have it to the full. Now, I want you to look at your own life today. I want you to think about where is my own life at right now? Where am I in my life? Because the reason that Jesus came is that we might have life and have life to the full. Now, He died on the cross that we would have eternal life. So that when we die, that we know that we're going to have eternal peace with God. We're going to be in joyful communion with our Lord forever. A wonderful time in heaven and eternal life. And certainly Jesus died for that. But He came that we might have life here and now. The life that you have right now, and the person that you are now, and the circumstances that you're facing now, God has come and He came that you might have life. And He says that you might have life to the full, an abundant life, an overflowing life. Now, you might look at your own life and say, well, my life, yeah, it's full, but it's full of things that maybe I'm not so happy that it's full of at the moment. Maybe there's circumstances, maybe there's challenges, maybe there's things in your life. You think, yeah, well, it's full all right, but it's not full of those things. Maybe that you feel your life is full because you just feel like you're so busy all of the time. You just seem to be pressured with time. It seems to be full all right, but within that fullness, there's no sense of satisfaction. And I believe God wants us to know that we can come to Him and come into a place where we can be satisfied. I believe that's the invitation the Lord's giving us this morning, saying, come and be satisfied. Because that's why Jesus came. He came for your salvation, but He came that you might have a full life. And a full life, your fullness, an overflowing life, irrespective of the circumstances that you may face in your life, irrespective of the challenges, irrespective of what you don't have, what you may feel that is lacking in your life, that there might be an overflow in your life. That's why He came to give us that life. Now, the passage we want to look at this morning is in Isaiah 55, and maybe you've got a Bible you can turn to there. It's great. I want you to have a look at this. There's lots of words in this. It'll be up on the screen, but it's good to have your own Bible and to read that in there. And I challenge you just to read all of Isaiah 55. Read it through yourself. It's a wonderful passage. Isaiah 53 is another key one, about prophetic one about Jesus dying on the cross. But Isaiah 55 is a wonderful, full of invitations for each and one, every one of us. But let's have a look at Isaiah 55 verses 1 and 3. And it says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend your money on that which is not bread, and your labor on that which does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you might live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promise to David." And if you don't get the heart of this passage, this is a yearning of God's heart. God is crying out. He's saying, come, just will you listen? Will you listen to what I'm saying? Will you listen to me? How many times he says, listen to me, listen. It's a cry from God's heart. I believe there's a cry of God's heart for all of us this morning saying, will you listen? Will you listen to what I'm saying? Listen to me. And then there's this cry where he's saying, come, come to me. And he's saying it's for all. He's not excluding anyone. He didn't exclude you this morning. He didn't call you that everyone else will be touched of God today, but you would go home in the same state, still empty and still thirsty, still aching on the inside. It's for all of us. For all of us. It's a cry of God's heart. He's saying, come, come to me. Can you hear what the Spirit of God is saying? He's calling us forward. He's calling us. He wants to touch every heart, every life. He's saying, come and be satisfied. Because if you look at your life and say, well, look, I'm not really satisfied in my life. Now, you might have lots of stuff. It's not about having a lot of stuff. You might have all sorts of stuff. You might have a wonderful car and a wonderful house and a wonderful boat and a wonderful whatever is wonderful. You might have all that stuff. But it's not really what we're talking about. It's not really what's going to satisfy us. And then we can do a lot of stuff that is pleasurable. We can do a lot of leisure activities. We can do a whole lot of stuff. But there's still something that's going to be missing out in our life. And the Spirit of God is saying, come, come. And basically, there's two kinds of people. And I believe that's what God really wants us to talk about today. That there's two groups of people here. And I would say that, if not all of us, probably all of us, most of us at least, would fit into one or two of these categories of people this morning. And as you look at your own life and say, well, how full is my own life? Yeah, not full of problems. Yeah, well, we've all got problems. Not full of busyness. Yeah, well, everyone's busy. You've got no more problems and you're no more busy than anyone else. Because everything's relative to that particular person. And so no one can say, oh, yeah, but what about this? What about that? No, everyone. It's a level playing field, really. We all go through difficult challenges and different things. And God never allows us to go through things more than we can handle, than we can endure. And so he brings it down by enabling us to stand in every situation that we might face. But two kinds of people that the Lord is talking about, two kinds of people that he's addressing. And just see, well, where do I fit in these two kinds of people? Now, he doesn't want us to stay as that kind of people. But I would say that most of us, and a lot of the time, we would vacillate maybe one between the two. And maybe one of these two kinds of people that we want to look at, you identify with. And maybe you might say, well, I'm not really like that now, but maybe one of them is more your default position, that when things start getting on top of you, when things start coming around you, and the pressure of life hits you, you may feel that I default one of these or another. I know that I do. I'll tell you which one in a moment where I know that God really challenges me on, and where I know I have to be fully alert to what God is saying. Two kinds of people. First of all, he says, come all those who are thirsty. Come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Talks about a group of people that are thirsty. That they know that there's something lacking in their life. That there's a hunger within them, a thirst within them. And they're unhappy. They're not really satisfied. There's something that's not satisfying in their life. And as much as they try to do all sorts of stuff, there's a longing in the heart, a silent longing in the heart. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you definitely will identify with that. Because it doesn't matter whatever else you do in life, unless Christ is the center of your life, you're going to live with a hunger in your heart until the day that you die, unless you know Jesus Christ, unless you give your life to him, unless you come into relationship with him. But there are people that can feel like, because of the circumstances and the pressures of life, they can feel like they're worn out. They've just been drained out. The stuff of life, the pressures of life, the intensity of life, the challenges and all of the things just begin to, it's like everything's just pulling the very life out of you. And some people here this morning will relate to that. You just feel, yeah, look, I just feel like I'm worn out. I'm not satisfied. I'm not happy in my circumstances. And others, it may be that there's dreams that you had in God. Dreams and things that you really felt that this is what's going to happen and this is what God's plan's going to be and this is going to happen in my life. And maybe some of those things will begin to dry up with your own heart and your own life and maybe become a little disillusioned because of that. But I just had hoped, you know, I really had thought this and this is what I've thought and it didn't happen the way that you thought. And so there's a longing, there's a cry of your heart becoming very thirsty. And maybe feeling that you've tried many different avenues and you just keep coming into a dead end, or you're walking and it's like you just find yourself in like a wilderness place. You don't want to be there. You're not even sure how you got there, but you're there, and you feel that within your life, just feeling dry and coming to a point of desperation, saying, God, I can't really handle this. I can't really take this, Lord. I need you in my life. And you might have even given your life to Jesus. But I tell you that even Christians can find themselves in this place, because this invitation is to all. It's to those that are far away who don't know Jesus Christ, but those who even made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. But they've allowed something, they've allowed circumstances, they've allowed whatever it is, compromise, allowed sin, or whatever it is, to put some sort of a distance. And then there's this cry of God's heart is saying, come to me, all you who are thirsty. And a cry of the heart, desperate longing thirst. People that are worn out and weary. And I sense in my spirit there's some people here this morning that you say, well, that's me. If there's two groups of people, maybe that's you. You just feel, look, yeah, I really feel dry, and I just feel just worn out from the stuff of life. And I really need God's heart. I really need his touch upon me right now. And if you find yourself in that place, the Lord doesn't condemn us if we find ourselves in that place. Problem is, if we choose to stay there, we ignore the invitation. He says, come on, come, come. If we say, oh, no, I'm going to stay here in my misery, and then we've made a choice. We've ignored the invitation. But the Lord doesn't condemn us. He just impels us. He compels us. He says, come on, come, come, come to me. Come, those that are weary, those that are thirsty. And maybe if you're struggling in the stuff of life, that you will hear the invitation from the Lord by his Holy Spirit, that you will come to him even this morning and allow God to touch your life, to refresh you. God wants to touch you this morning. Now, that's one category. And maybe all of us at some time in our life, we found ourselves in that place. For me, if I'm going to have a tendency, maybe it's not so much in that place, but it's in this other place. And maybe the second type, and some of us will find ourselves falling into this category. And you might say, well, this is where I am right now. When we look at this, this may describe you and your circumstances, who you are. It says, those who are thirsty, those that have no money, our first one. But then it goes on and he talks about, why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? And so the second one are probably not so bankrupt or so aware of their desperation or spiritually bankrupt or so feel so overwhelmed and so overcome by the stuff of life. And they've got some strength. They've got some strength. They've got some resilience. They have money and they have the ability to labor. They can do that. And I don't know about you, but my personality more is, I mean, I'm fairly self-motivated. And I'm the sort of one who just, you know, grit your teeth and you just plow on through. If there's a brick wall, you grit your teeth, you plow on through. And that in some way is a commendable characteristic to have, just to put your head down, knuckle down, and I'm just going to keep on pushing through. Whatever happens, whatever the circumstances, hell or high water, here I go and I'm coming. Now that in some way is a good characteristic to have. But in some ways, it can also be a great weakness in our own hearts and lives. Maybe some of you are a little bit like that, that you're just going to knuckle down when things happen, you just knuckle down. But part of that, the weakness of that, is that we can be self-reliant. There's a self-sufficiency that can come in to our own heart and life, that we draw on our own strength and our own capacity, and that we can draw on that and not have the vulnerability to the touch of God upon our life and the sustaining drawing upon his life. And if I was going to err either way, that's probably where I would err. And so I know that, and I've got to watch my own heart. Lord, I don't want to do this in my own strength. Lord, I don't want to deal with this with my own capacity, my own digging in deep, as it were. Lord, I only want to dig into you. But some people are a little bit like that. We can have strength and we're laboring. And you can put a lot of effort in that. And people say, wow, look at that. But unless we're actually drawing that from the life of the Spirit, if we're doing that out of our own strength, out of our own whatever it is that we have, then there's something amiss even there as well. It might look good on the outside because it looks like you're coping with the circumstances of life. But if you're doing that out of your own strength, then there's something amiss in your life. And you may be a strong person, and you may not be someone who said, well, I'm not overwhelmed by the circumstances of life. Yep, there's stuff happening, but stuff happens to everyone. And man, they're in a lot worse situation than me. And so I'm just going to get on with it. And in a way, that's good and commendable. But there's also the sense that we've got to rely on the Lord. We've got to rely on Him. We need our strength from Him, not our own strength. And you know, maybe you say, well, I'm not worn out, I'm not burnt out, and I'm still doing stuff, and here I go, and I'm putting a lot of labor, a lot of energy, a lot of strength, a lot of effort, and I have money. It's not like I can't do anything. But it's a dangerous situation to be in as well, because self-reliance is a big problem. It's just one step from pride is self-reliance, self-sufficient. And we've all got to watch our heart that we're not like that. So easy to live a life and say, well, look, I love God and I acknowledge God, and we did the whole Not a Fan series. So easy to be a fan, to come and cheer, yes, Lord, aren't you great? And then live a life of self-sufficiency. And so there's a warning here. He's saying, look, if you like that, he's saying, look, come to me. Come to me. Don't rely on your own resources, whether they're emotional resources or even if they're physical things that you have, don't rely on that. Because there are people that work hard. And they're not overcome. They're not in depression. And some people get clinically depressed, feel like they're unable to function at all. No, no, they can work hard and they can put in a good day's work and good honest day's work, and they're not overcome and stressed out and whatever. But there's something missing if we're not really drawing on the Lord. And the Lord is really saying that you've got to come to me. Come to me. Maybe you like that. Maybe there's those that you can even be serving. And you can be serving the Lord. And one of the things that can happen is if you're actually drawing on your own gifting, and there are many gifted people in here, God's poured gifts upon us all. Every one of us is gifted in the things of God. Some people hide it under the bushel, some people bury it in the ground. But every one of us has a gift that God wants us to use. Every one of us is gifted and called and anointed by God. But see, what can happen also is that we can work out of our gifting rather than drawing from that reservoir, from the waters of the Lord and out of His strength. That's a dangerous place for any of us to be in. We've got to make sure that we are coming to the Lord and coming into His presence. Don't minister out of what you know and what you do. And God says, no, no, you come out of me. So what can happen is a good indicator, if you say, well, hang on, if I'm the second type, maybe I do things a little bit out of my own strength and thinking that's good, but not drawing on God. One of the ways you'll know that is that if you start getting frustrated with other people, if you find other people frustrate you, why aren't they rising to the mark? Look at how hard I'm working. Look what I'm doing. I'm putting all the effort in. I'm putting all the labor. I'm putting all the energy in. I'm serving and they're not up to the mark. And if you find that you're finding yourself a little bit critical of people, you find that you're frustrated with people because they're not doing what you're doing, they're not putting in what you're putting in, if that starts to become a mindset, I guarantee that that's coming because you're ministering out of your own gifting, out of your own strength, and you're not drawing out of that reservoir of life, because if you're drawn from that life, it'll overflow in every part of your lives and affect and how we work out in our life. And so we've got to really guard that. That in our hearts that we're not the first type. The first type is where we feel just so hopeless and helpless, and we come to that point. And look, that's a good place to be, actually, because we acknowledge that I need God. I can't do this. I just cannot do this. Lord, I need you, Lord. And you're saying, come, Lord. Well, here I am. I'm coming to you. But the other ones, we feel that we've got it. Revelation 3:17, it says, you say I'm rich. I've acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. Because if we're in the realm of self-sufficiency and our own strength, we think we got it all together. We got nothing together if we're not drawing our life from God. And we can have every capacity, every bit of training, everything that we know, everything that mummy taught me, everything that dad told me when he was... We can rely on all this stuff all around out there. But if we're not drawing our life from Christ, we are in a dangerous place, in a bad situation. And as I said, that if you can end up serving even serving in the house of God, but you can end up doing that out of your own strength. And Jesus said to the disciples, we spoke a couple of weeks ago about the woman at the well, about how to share our faith in that way. In John 4:34, part of that passage, Jesus said to the disciples, he said, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." So serving God is a sustaining thing. You get to the point where you're always tired and worn out, and you know, you get towards the end of the year and you're ready to throw in the towel and I've had enough and I can't handle this anymore and I'm too tired and I need a big break for the rest of my life. And that simply means that you've been drawing out of your own strength. You have a limited capacity. It doesn't matter how high capacity you are. It doesn't matter how good you are at what you do. If we're not drawing that life from the Lord, then we will come to that point where it's just going to give up. It won't work. And there's that calling of the prompting of the Spirit of God, and he's saying, come. And if I was going to err, it's not so much the first, but I can err to the second, and I think we all can. And the Lord's saying, no, that's not the place to be. He's erring us to come. When he's saying, come to us, if you actually looked at that passage in Isaiah 55 and 1 to 3, there's actually 10 imperative, 10 words where the Lord is compelling, saying, come, 10 times, 10 different things, coming, listening, eating, buying, all of these words the Lord is saying, because this is a cry of God's heart, and he's crying to you this morning, and he's saying, come to me. And so that you have this wonderful invitation that the Holy Spirit's giving to us, and he's saying, come. Now he's saying, come to what? Come to me. Come to me. Now there's the waters of living water, Jesus, the fountain of living water just is available for us. We come to the waters, but we're coming to Jesus Christ. We're coming to him, allowing him to touch our hearts and our life, and something that there's a refreshing that we all need. So I don't care who you are, we all need that refreshing touch in the Lord. Every one of us needs that refreshing, that touch of God. And he says, come to me. And he doesn't say it once, he doesn't just say, come. He says, come, come, come. Four times he says, come. And it's a pretty good thing to do. He tells us to listen first of all, but then he says to come. And so, how do we come? How do we come to the Lord? If you're not a Christian, well, you come to the Lord and you come and stand and say, I need Jesus in my life. I need what he did on the cross, that he died on the cross, that he took the punishment for my sin, that the blood that he shed washed away all my sin, that I can have peace with God, I can stand pure and holy before God. That's if you're not a Christian. You can come and just give your heart to Jesus and allow the love of God to be poured upon your heart and upon your life. But if you're already a Christian, how do you come to God? Saying, well, haven't I already come there? Well, the reality you have. He's never gone anywhere. He's always there. He's just a heartbeat away. He's always there. He's right with you all of the time. So how do I come to God? Well, one of the things I need to do is, first of all, is to be thinking about God. How much does God permeate your thoughts during the day? What do you think about? Is you think about your problems more than you think about God? Now, it's a natural tendency to do that. But where is our thought life? Is there a consciousness of God that pervades us? That we're aware of God? And we're not necessarily praying every second of the day. You know, you're praying and then you walk in front of a bus. And no. We're conscious of God. We're mindful of God all of the time. There's a sense of that. That's one way of coming to God, is to be mindful of God and to have that heart. The other thing is to have a desire for God. Really, what is your desire like? What is your desire like for God? When the Lord himself says to you, come to me, is it, oh, ho-hum, what's the time? Yeah, wonder what's for lunch? Or what's your own response? When the Lord himself says, come, what's the desire? To have a desire for God, to love God, that every moment, Lord, I just want to be with you. Lord, I just want to love you. That's the desire. Having a desire is one way of coming to God. Another way to come to God is that stuff that you know puts a wall between you and God, you get rid of. God's there, but if you put something there, then you're going to have to come through that into his presence. And if you're aware of stuff that you've put there, if you're aware of barriers that you've put there in between you and God, then get rid of it. Stop it. Don't do that anymore. That whatever it is, it might even be a good thing. It's not. I'm not going off doing a bad thing, but if it's taking me away from my walk with God and my relationship with God, then stop doing that. or at least put it in perspective, at least put it in priority, put it in if it's a good thing. If it's a bad thing, just stop it altogether. Stop making excuses about, oh, I can't. No, just stop it. Stop it. We can come to God by getting rid of the barriers that we put between us and God. That's one way that we can come to God. And so you can come to God and repent and say, Lord, I put a wall here. And Lord, because of that, I'm not focusing on you. I'm focusing on this, 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 and this. But Lord, I just want to remove that. And by dealing with that, it's another way that we can come to God, is to do that. And then obviously in prayer and worship, to spend time with the Lord. It's the yearning of the Lord's heart for us to spend time with him. To spend time with him, to be with him. Because if you're not doing that, I guarantee you're one of those two places will be. You're in this place of hopelessness and despair, or the only other option is you're in a place of self-sufficiency, and I will do it, and I can do this, and I'll do it in my own strength. But it's your own strength. And ultimately it says, why do you labor on that which doesn't satisfy? Because you will not be satisfied. You will not be happy. And what happens sometimes when people are not happy, they make choices to change something. So it's pretty expensive to change to go to Queensland. Some people will do that. They sell up and they'll move to Queensland. They'll make a change in their life. Some people make drastic changes. Well, I'll try changing my relationships and seeing what happens with that. Other people will change their church, saying, well, okay, well, I'll try to change. It doesn't solve anything if we're in that place of self-sufficiency. What we need to do is we need to come to the Lord. We need to come to him. That's the cry of the Lord's heart, to cry, to come to him and say, Lord, yeah, I want to be in that place with you. He talks about buying. And it's interesting because he's saying, you don't have any money, but I want you to buy. How do I buy? I don't have any money. Well, the price has already been paid. Jesus died on the cross. He paid for every price that ever has to be paid for you to be in relationship with your Father. Has been paid by Jesus Christ. So think, well, I've got nothing I can do. Well, that's great. I feel hopeless. Wonderful. I can't do anything. Fantastic. Because you're in that place where you're able to allow the Lord to work and minister and to touch your life. But you don't need to buy something, but what you do need is to surrender. We do need to come into a place to surrender. And that's, if you're a self-sufficient person and, you know, you're a hard worker and you can do stuff or whatever, coming to a point of surrender is probably the hardest thing to do. When you're feeling hopeless and helpless and overwhelmed, surrender, man, I'm dying anyway. It's easy to surrender when you're feeling like that. But then you're in a place of sufficiency and say, well, look, you know, I've got my stuff fairly well together. Yeah, I've got problems and there's struggles and there's challenges, but I've pretty well much got it together. And so I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing and do all of this stuff. You know, they're the ones that really need to surrender. But they're the ones that really struggle with it, coming to that point of surrender. But that's what the Lord asks us. Say, Lord, look, I need you. I need you, Lord. I'm not going to rely on my own self. I want to flow with you, Lord. I want to walk with you. I want to work with you. I want you to work and flow through my life to come to that point. And that's the hard part for many, is really coming to surrender, because people don't want to surrender. Why should I? I'm self-sufficient. Well, you're not going to be satisfied. That's the bottom line. You will not be satisfied. And also, you're missing out on what the Lord promises to us when he says, if you do these things, there's a rich fare, something rich for you, something that's a wonderful blessing for you, and you're going to miss out on that. Talks about buying milk and bread and things that are going to grow and nourish you. What do we do? We spend a lot of time and effort on things that don't grow or nourish us in any way. But he's saying, come, I want to give you something that's going to grow you, milk that will grow you, that will sustain you, nourish you, and bread. Jesus, the bread of life, come and allow him to nourish you, to grow you as a person. You don't want to be the same person that you are now. You want to grow and be everything that God has made you to be. Well, it's not going to happen unless you come to God, come to the Lord and allow him to feed you, nourish you, sustain you, grow you into that person. And you might be a good person. That's great. God doesn't want you to be a good person. He wants you to be a God person. He wants you to reach every potential in your life. And the way that we do that is to come and come to him. And the wine, which really a symbol of the Spirit of God upon our lives and refreshing and joy that God wants us to know in our lives and heart. It's not all doom and gloom, but there's a joy that will overflow in our life. And God wants that. But he also says, come, he says, to buy. We come to that surrender, say, Lord, okay, I don't have anything, Lord, I want you. But then he says, eat. And already a prophetic word was given this morning. And the Holy Spirit's obviously speaking to us about, it's there, but you've got to take it. And if you've been around for a long time as a Christian, you'll know it's all there. And sometimes people who have been longer Christians actually will struggle even more than a newer Christian in some ways, because they know the stuff, they know the words, they know the verses, they know the promises of God, and they can recite them and they can claim them. But the problem is they're still not satisfied, and there's still a longing. The reason is because they don't actually take it and eat it, don't apprehend it and make it theirs. It's up here or it's out there, but it's not actually in here. And he says, eat it, take it, and take it into yourself. Make it yours. Put it inside your heart. Because then you're not going to fall over when the pressure of life comes against you, when all of the struggles and challenges, because you're going to draw on the life of the Lord. You actually eat it. You take it into yourself. And it's interesting, too, that in this context where the Lord is giving this invitation, he's talking about eating. And you find that whenever God talks about eating, that God really is talking about that fellowship, that heart relationship that he wants with each and every one of us. You look at the Passover, he said, take this and eat it. And everything about the Passover or everything we do around communion, it's all about the relationship that God wants us. Remember Revelation 3, he says, 19, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, open the door, come in, and I will eat with him. I will have relationship. I will have fellowship with him. I'll have that relationship. And that's the cry of God's heart. Are you thirsty enough for God? Because God is thirsty for you. He longs for close relationship with us. But some of us, well, I'm too feel too hopeless to actually do that, or I'm too self-sufficient to think I even need that. And yet the cry and the call of God's heart is for us to come to him. And there's also a promise that he gives us as we come to him. And says that and says, you will take exquisite delight. It says, taste and see. Listen to me and eat what is good. In other words, spend time on what is going to build you up. And you will delight in the richest of fare. The richest of fare. And that's the choice things. That's the best things. If you want the best things in life, the best things in life, as we say, are not necessarily things. The best things in life, the choice things in life, come from God. And it's having God in our heart and having that vibrant, alive, living relationship within our heart. And we want a full life. You want an abundant life. Every one of us does. Jesus died for that reason. He died that you would have salvation and have eternal life with him, yes. But he died that you'd have an abundant life now. Is your life an abundant life now? Are you eating the richest affair, the choicest portions, the very, very best? You know, you go to a restaurant and then there's all sorts of stuff you can get off the menu. But then the chef, he has his very specialty that he's made, and the finest ingredients, hand-picked ingredients. He's actually got the ingredients himself, made sure everything was just perfect and put it together with all the skill and everything they have, this beautiful, richest fare. So this is it. This is the master dish. This is the one. And everything's gone into that. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, you come to me, I will give you that. But many of us, we just say, no, look, I'm going to stay here in the wilderness. I'm going to stand in despair and frustration and loneliness and just feeling overwhelmed in my circumstances, and still love God, but I just feel so here. Some of us are here saying, well, look, yeah, there's stuff happening, there's things go on, but, you know, look, you know, I've got it together, I can handle this, and I'm just going to do it anyway, grit my teeth and push through. But either way, there's not a satisfying. We won't be satisfied in our hearts. And I search my own heart. I want God, you search your own heart now. I believe the Holy Spirit's already searching your heart now. Where are you in your own heart? Because I know in times where I think, Lord, I don't feel happy. I don't feel satisfied. And I think, well, you know, why is that? You know, I've got a fantastic wife, a fantastic family, a great church family. Things are all going well. But Lord, it's just not satisfied within my heart. And then that's where the Lord always brings me back and says, yeah, well, you know, where are you? And I think, oh, Lord, I've stepped into this time where I'm not actually drawing all that life from you. And if you're feeling any hint of unsatisfaction in your life, that your life is not full at the moment, or if you find that you're frustrated, or if you find that you're critical of other people, and that's your first response rather than, wow, this is great, is, well, that's bad, then you may be in one of those, but well, you will be probably more in this one than in that place of despair. But I believe the Lord wants to really minister to us this morning, because he says he wants us about walking in covenant blessing. It says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promise to David. And wants us to walk in that. That whatever circumstance that we find ourselves in, that we are drawing from that life of God. And I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to us this morning and urging us, compelling us and saying, come, every one of us this morning. Now, I'm going to give opportunity for every one of us for prayer. Now, if you come out or you don't come out, I'm not going to keep tabs on who does and who doesn't. It's up to you whether you come or not. Totally up to you. But I believe that the Lord will touch every thirsty heart today, every hungry heart. And I know God wants to do that. God is stirring something among us. And there's that cry of God's heart, come. And it's not a superficial thing. It's not a, you know, don't even come. Just oh, well, everyone's supposed to go out. I'm going to come. Don't come. We don't want robots out here. But if there's something of the Spirit of God that's cries in your own heart, I pray that God is stirring something today. He's saying, come. I'll read this passage again. It says, come, all you are thirsty. Come to the waters. You have no money. Come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. And so I want to pray for us this morning. And so can I have the oversight come, and we just have some quiet music in the background, Matthew, if we can just play something there.